the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
All right.
Huh? Are we rolling?
Yep.
Ah, I figured you would. I'm finally on to you.
But it wasn't, it wasn't.
Wasn't what?
It wasn't like a big surprise. I didn't catch you saying anything goofy.
No, I know, because I was holding back. Because I was
you
on.
You figured it out.
I was on to you, man.
You figured out how the Boogie Monster works.
Yeah.
It's only taken you 3 years.
What's up, dude?
Not much, man. I just got back from shredding.
Yeah.
About getting rad.
Yeah. Just shred it hard.
I was doing pretty good until I scared an old lady and I went over the bars. I got a little bell on my bike and people just think it's a fun dog. Like, they don't think it's somebody on a bike barreling down. And then I came around this corner and it was a hiker.
Aww.
And she just went, whoo, and I crashed right in front of her.
So it's a bell that stays on, or is it one you have to press?
No, it's like a jingle bell.
Oh, like a jingle bell. Okay,
yeah, gotcha. Yeah, a little tiny cowbell on there. But I'm like, she's like, oh, you're the second group. And the first group that went past, I know they all had bells. Like, everybody's doing it the right thing. And it's mixed use, so I can't get mad at her. But she was like playing music or was listening to a podcast kind of loud on her phone. I'm like, well, that's what the bells are for. She's like, yeah, I didn't hear it. And I wanted to be like, well, yeah, it's because you're listening. But you know what? I was a fucking idiot for so long and would listen to, I would have headphones in. Like when I first started going down. I'll listen to something on the way up, but on the way up is an open fire road. So. Mm-hmm. I've learned to be more attentive. I can't. Yeah. No harm, no foul on her. She was like, are you okay? I'm like, that's what the pads are for.
Do you run across a lot of that when you're out there? Hikers who are audibly playing music, like not in their headphones?
I don't know. I do because it's safer, because you don't want to cut off one of your senses. So I listen to a podcast on the way up, but not like to screw up anybody else. Like I have a backpack and my phone sits on the top of my backpack. Because that's why I would wear headphones sometimes, like on the way up.
Yeah.
But even then, there's no strict, this is the way up, this is the way down. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people still are cruising down at pretty high speeds on the big dirt road that goes up there. Mm-hmm. And some guys going down have speakers. I told you the guy was like, face to nuts with that helped me with my tire.
Yeah.
I told you I found out he was like this MMA fighter.
Really?
Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah.
Like a popular one?
I don't know. I looked him up. Well, I looked up the tag of where I was riding. I'm like, let me see. On Instagram, you can look up the location. I'm like, let me see if there's other people that have like taken cool pictures of this trail. And I saw that dude and he's just some goofy. He looks like Bronson. Like the
big tall dude.
Well, like the English guy, the prisoner changes.
Oh, I thought you meant Bronson, the comic we know.
No, that's Bronston. No, that like the guy who changed his name to Charles Bronson. This bald dude with a big curly mustache. And he was an absolute sweetheart of a man. I'll get his name right.
Yeah.
Because he deserved. He's a good. He spent way too long helping me with that tire, and gave me a tube. It was very kind of him to do that.
Did you say he when you originally told me that story? Did he know who you were? Didn't he say big fan?
No.
Thought that was the one where somebody was helping you do something, and then they're like, by the way, big fan.
No, that was in Philadelphia where some guy told me while I was crossing the street. He's like, yeah, there's a bunch of vomit over there, so you want to look out. By the way, big fan. This guy, Patrick Durkin Cummins.
Huh. I don't know him, but.
Yeah. Just a nice fella.
That's cool.
Who also happens to scrap.
Yeah.
With individuals. Yeah. It's this, here, I'll show you a picture of him. This fucking dude.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right on. Yeah, he looks like a scrapper.
Yeah, he looks like a scary dude, but couldn't have been a nicer guy to stop and try and help a stranger.
Well,
so thanks, Patrick Durkin Cummins. I hope you win all your fights. Every single one of them things, buddy.
So where'd you shred today?
I go up to El Prieto.
Where's that?
Over by the... over by the Jet Propulsion Labs.
Oh, okay.
I was listening to, as I was telling you, I was listening to Bob Mysterious Universe, which is a podcast that does more research than we do.
Australian
band. And now we're in trouble because they're starting to be funny, too.
Oh, are they?
Before, they were kind of like, they were a little more like on, like, all right, we're reporting this. And they're kind of letting it go a little bit.
They
got to
stop
it's
fun.
That.
They got to stop
being funny. Now they're kind of just like.
That's our thing.
Fucking around. I like them, yeah. But, so I was listening to a thing about UFOs right next to Jet Propulsion Labs. It's like my own little time away from all the bullshit. Then I get back and I find out there's almost a terrorist attack here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, man, that broke today.
Tell me what happened.
I just just skimmed it over real quick. I think it's some dude like...
Oh, Dave skimmed something over.
A
terrorist attack on the city we live in, and you just read the Cliff's Notes. All right.
It's some dude up in the valley, some guy in the San Fernando Valley.
Always weird out there. I guess Van Nuys.
I think I saw... He was like a 26-year-old dude.
Let me guess, Panorama City.
Probably.
But that's where I'm going to look it up now.
When I first moved here, I banked at Walmart.
I remember that. You had to drive to Panorama City to get money.
Once a week, I'd have to go to Panorama City just to go to the shitty Walmart so I could get some a check cashed.
I mean, there's always ironically named places, but Panorama City.
Yeah, there's nothing panoramic about that.
Zero. Look down.
But yeah, some dude in the valley, I guess he was in the works of trying to obtain some bombs, some, I don't know if they were pipe bombs or whatever. But
he's a veteran. He's an American military veteran.
I think he bought a bomb from an undercover cop. And once they completed the transaction, they busted him. But I think during this whole process, he was telling this undercover cop that he was going to use these bombs to blow up the Santa Monica Pier, to put some on the freeways here in L.A., just all kinds of crazy shit.
Oh, well, wait. Well, now hold on a second. This guy identified as Mark Stephen Domingo was seeking retribution for the recent attacks on mosques in New Zealand, according to the authorities. So he was going, this is according to the article in the New York Times. He spoke of unleashing a similar attack to the one in Las Vegas, aiming to kill hundreds of people, and it was especially targeting white nationalists, Jews, and churches and military bases. So he was, But white nationalists, like, they're not good guys, right?
Well, he was targeting,
So they, okay.
Hmm.
They got him on a Friday night.
That sucks.
Dang, man. Well, it doesn't. They caught him. That's good.
Yeah,
good job.
Mean, sucks that he was
Reseda.
That close.
All right. Reseda. Mr. Domingo, 26 of Reseda. Made famous by a young
Daniel
LaRusso and his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Moving there from New Jersey. And not liking it.
Yeah.
I got bullied by the same guy.
All
that happened before was you take karate lessons from the landlord.
Yeah.
Now they're making bombs out in Reseda.
We're not going to learn how to punch. We're going to learn how to punch.
That guy, this is the equivalent, except Mr. Miyagi's a Muslim guy, and he teaches you how to make IEDs. this new Karate Kid's taking a turn.
Daniel LaRusso's apartment building, it's still there. I drove by there about a year ago. I think it's in Reseda.
Oh, it legit is?
Yeah. And, same building still there. Man, you know what else broke news today? John Singleton died.
I know he had a stroke a couple days ago.
They took him off life support today.
Dang.
Yeah.
How old?
51.
That is not old.
Now, that dude was awesome, man. Boys in the Hood changed the game. That was, I know there was, you know, black cinema and stuff before him, but like, and of course Spike Lee's movies came out before him, but like, man, Boys in the Hood just really changed a lot. I don't know. I think that was one of the first movies that, like, at least from my perspective, that like sheltered, rural, idiot,
white
teenagers
kids watched.
Were like, oh shit, that's what's going on? Yeah. But yeah, rest in peace, John Singleton.
What were his other movies?
Higher Learning. Did you see that one? That was good.
Was that the...
Michael Rapaport.
What happens in there?
Who's the black lady that was a model that was so hot back in the day? Now she's Project Runway or something.
Tyra Banks.
Tyra Banks was in that. Dude from Juice. Omar Epps. Yeah, that was. It was about college. It was about racial tensions on a college campus and... Then some bad shit went down. But yeah, that was a good one. I never saw the Janet Jackson movie. Which one was that?
That was the one with Tupac.
Yeah, I never saw that one. I always wanted to see it. But Boys in the Hood. They did a bunch of other stuff more recently.
I think I did see Higher Learning. It was a long time
ago.
Yeah,
it was good. It's good stuff. But
it's kind of confused. You ever see The Principal with Jim Belushi?
No. No. What was that about?
He's a principal.
Yeah.
And the kids were bad. It was like a very heightened. It wasn't some like based in reality. It was like a heightened thing where he had to fight back against the gang inside the school. I think it was him and then the, you know what? Since we're all just dicking around on the internet looking things up, I'm going to look it up. The Principal. Oh, movie. Yeah, 1987.
Oh, yeah? No, I didn't. Never even heard of that
one. It was a drug-infested high school. New principal joins with a security guard. Lou Gossett Jr.
Okay.
Remember Lou Gossett Jr. Yes. when he was Samuel Jackson before Samuel Jackson showed up?
Great point.
Remember when Lou Gossett, man, Samuel Jackson put Lou Gossett Jr. out of business. You know, as soon as he saw Sam Jackson in the movie, Lou Gossett Jr. is like, I'm done.
Oh,
unless
man.
They keep making, what were the, how many of those airplane movies was he in?
Oh, yeah.
What was it? What was that?
I know what you're talking about. Iron Eagle. Was it Iron Eagle?
That's a good guess. I can't even make funny.
Because they made like three of those.
Yeah, he was one. He was in. He was like, that was a steady paycheck. Ray Don Chong was in it.
Huh.
Remember Ray Don Chong?
No. Jewish fella?
What?
Jewish fella?
Are you fucking with me?
That's a joke, Kyle.
All right.
Come on.
I don't know. You have a good deadpan.
Focus, buddy.
You have a good deadpan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lou Gossett Jr. He's got a lot of stuff that's in pre-production on IMDb.
Wasn't he in
he's still
Officer
working.
And a Gentleman? He was in that one. Mm-hmm. With Richard Gere.
He was one of those guys. He was like R. Lee Ermey. But I don't know if he had actual military background. But it was like, you're so good at this, just be this guy.
Yeah. Man, R. Lee Ermey. That dude was awesome.
Yeah. God damn it. Where's the Iron Eagle? Yeah.
I'll tell you a story about him later.
Chappie Sinclair. That was his name.
Dude, I saw a movie this week.
All right. Give it to me.
In the theater.
Was it the movie that everybody saw?
No.
Space...
Have I talked about this? How I've literally never seen a Marvel movie? Unless, what's the newer, Batman trilogy? Is that Marvel?
Dude,
I saw those.
We're going to upset people. There's people screaming at their...
Don't give a shit. I mean...
They're good, they're good when I see them.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Somebody made me go see the Avenger movie years ago, and I was like, this is a good movie.
I'm sure they are, and I get why people are into them, but for some reason, there's just a disconnect where I don't give a shit. Just... Not interested.
You know what? I have to come to terms with I got that streak of contrarianism, and when anything is super popular, I want to be against it.
And it's not that I just literally genuinely have no interest.
I don't want it. I don't care.
Yeah, but I like things that are wildly popular. But
I bet it's good.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure
it's a good movie.
But there's just something about, pardon the pun, that universe that just doesn't do it. Okay. I don't know
what has been a popular thing that you did like and were like excited to be a
Sopranos.
Part of?
I was huge into Sopranos.
Well, it was happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
While it was, yeah. Man, that's a good question. Like something else.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go to a crowded movie ever.
Yeah,
that's like scary movies. That's different. Uh-huh. Scary movies in a theater with a bunch of people getting freaked out is a good time. You know, where the whole point is, hey, this is rated R, so keep your fucking kids at home, and let's all be silly and scream and laugh at stuff.
Yeah. Well, my version of something popular like that would be sports. Certain sports are huge, and I'm right there with, like, right now, the NBA playoffs, I'm all about it. I'm all about a big UFC fight. You know, I'm all about football. So
so you understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
Because I don't care about that stuff either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, all right, better question, you answer.
That's the thing. I was trying to think of that today because I was like, this weekend was a Game of Thrones and it was Marvel's.
Never seen Game of Thrones.
Marvel's of the Universe.
Yeah, and I know, I'm sure that's amazing, but just.
There's no way it's going to live up to everybody being balls out about it. I'll catch you. I don't want to be like. I realize that I am contrarian, just to be a dick, just to be like, look, aren't you a special little different boy, Kyle?
Yeah.
You don't like the thing everybody else does, and you know what that means? Sometimes you're just left out.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's big fun parties you could go to on a Sunday where everybody's watching.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones. I'm
not contrarian because I'm a dick. I'm contrarian just because I'm cooler than everybody. But
too, man.
You know,
look, we're two
I can't
guys.
Help that.
We're two guys that are cooler
than
everybody.
It's not my fault.
And that's why we're alone at my house talking about ghouls and goblins.
Dude, first time I've been to the movie theater in months. I cannot remember the last time I went to a movie. Not for any real particular reason.
Where'd you go, Vista?
Went to Arclight.
Arclight.
Always like going over there.
For those of you that aren't in Los Angeles, ooh, what a spoiled experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't tolerate no riffraff. And a guy comes out, I kind of feel bad because you know they're like, somebody might not want to address a crowd, but they have to be like, welcome to the Arclight.
Yep.
If you have any problems, come see us. Please silence your phone. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
Assigned seats.
Yeah.
Oh, the best.
Yeah. Where's your seat, by the way, when you have an assigned seat? Where do you like? Where do you go for?
Oh, middle in the back.
Really?
Middle about three quarters of the way back, like every other schmo.
Yeah. I'm back row on one of the extreme ends. I like being in the back and on the end. Why? That way no one's near me. No one behind me. No one to my side. Everybody fucking back off. I need to sit alone.
You fucking Al Capone in the theater. I always got to see the door. Otherwise, I need a mirror in front of me.
I just like it. I like sitting way in the corner in the back.
The shittiest view and the worst sound. Okay.
No. I mean, how could it be a shitty view? The screen's 200 feet long. Like, it's all the same. Unless you're sitting, like, right up on it. I get how that sucks.
That's always a bummer.
I saw a movie called Her Smell.
All right.
You ever heard of it?
Nope.
Man, I wanted to like this movie, but it was pretty far up its own ass.
I see you rolling up on Friday with Marvel, whatever it was, Avengers out, and just you, can I get one for Her Smell, please? Excuse me? It's a movie.
Excuse me. I never even heard of this. Was Katie's idea. She had heard about it and wanted to go, and I was like, shit, I'll go.
Showtime's for Her Smell.
Yeah. But it's a punk rock movie. It's about a gal who's in a band.
Yeah.
And it was entertaining, and it was unique. First of all, let me say.
Was the lady from.
The lady from.
Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah. What's.
Handmaid's Tale.
And she crushed it. She was amazing. Mm. Like, I will be surprised if she doesn't get some nominations out of this. I mean, she just absolutely crushed it. But it was kind of the same critique I had of the movie I was talking about a few weeks ago, White Girl.
Yeah.
Where, and I'm by no means, I don't know anything about movies. I'm just, I liked it. I didn't like
That's
it.
That's why
I don't know why.
Get, yeah.
But I will say this. Like, the same problem I had with that movie, I had with this movie, was the main character is a maniac, and the whole movie they're being irrational and just chaotic, and it's just a tornado of chaos, this main character. But they never even hint at why. Like, tell me why, or at least allude to why is she this way. There was no mention of her childhood, of past experiences, of an absentee father, nothing. Just, this character's a fucking maniac, and it was one of those where she's in a successful band. She's the singer of I think it's loosely based, maybe like on Hole, on Courtney Love, kind of a Courtney Love type.
I saw that. I was like, as having just looked it up here, I see that was hinted at.
So like the movie opens, and I correct me if I'm wrong, people who've seen this, but it felt like the first scene, like, and when I say scene, I mean actual scenery, lasted an hour. Like,
I want to know how much of the audience listens to this. Hey, a weekend after Avengers and Game of Thrones almost finale. Hey, how many of y'all seen Her Smell? Because we're going to do a deep dive on this one for the Boogie Monster fan.
The scene opens with the final concert of their current tour. They've been on tour for several weeks or months or whatever. Yeah. And then this is the final song, the final concert of the tour. So literally the first hour or maybe hour 15 of the movie is just what plays out backstage. Like, over, it had to be an hour of like just this drama and chaos that happens backstage in real time after this concert. So like after an hour you're like, is anything else gonna happen? And like my point is, she's the lead singer of a it seems fairly popular band, like they're selling out like theaters, but she's just a fucking asshole maniac. Mm-hmm. And we don't know why. And then I won't spoil anything, but just like, okay, yeah. Boo-hoo.
You know what? I've had to learn to watch movies differently because, like, you know, you expect a beginning, middle, and end mm-hmm. in a linear story. Mm-hmm. And I've learned, like, my thing was that it follows. Like, I was all bent out of shape. Like, I hated that movie.
Never saw it yet.
And it was good. Like, the scary parts were scary, but there's always things that I found it, personally, I found it distracting. And somebody explained to me, like, it's more of like it's just an alternate reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have, like, it's, like, all kind of set in the 80s, it seems like. The cars mm-hmm. are in the 80s, but then they have cell phones and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was taking me out of the movie, where somebody was like, you know what, I put that to the side because mm-hmm. I just accepted that they accepted the reality right away. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's how, like, when you're about to see a movie that's a little bit strange, like, all right, I'm just going to accept this reality. Mm-hmm. But I haven't not seen her smell.
That's bad if you could see her smell.
I was going to say, what's your review on her smell? It stunk.
It's so bad I could see it. But no, I mean,
wasn't that case.
It was a well-done movie in most regards. Like, the way they used the score, like, it was a really great example of, like, mm-hmm. how the and again, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about with movies, but, like, they used the score to, like, really build tension. And, like, she was such a maniac that – and you don't notice it till a few minutes in, but every scene that she's in – the score is, like, real, like, tense and anxious. And then as soon as she leaves the scene, then the score softens up and it gets pretty.
Is it almost like maybe you just have to accept, like, oh, that's what Courtney Love is like. Like, maybe it's like, oh, this is a bonkers person.
Yeah.
This is how it affects everybody around her. I'm talking to my ass because I haven't seen it, so.
I mean, yeah, it definitely seemed like it was inspired. And it, you know, and Courtney Love's the obvious example because she, too, is a female. But, like, you know, there's just decades and decades of stories of, you know, asshole rock and rollers.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, to single out Courtney Love, mm-hmm. but, that's a bonkers rock and roller. I'm like, yeah, but, oh, the one woman that you could point out, like, everybody, look at every other fucking dude.
Katie asked, like, what would be the male equivalent of that, because she's not super into music.
All of them? And did you watch The Dirt yet?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
All you learn about Motley Crue is that they were all pieces of shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There was nothing there was nothing good enough about that. There's never anything good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think any person offers enough creatively this world to excuse being a piece of shit.
No, absolutely not.
You know, that's my biggest thing is, like, oh, we make these exceptions for, like, oh, Chris Brown is still just out there making music. People are still collaborating with a guy who beat the shit out of him, and then is just a garbage past that.
Yeah, yeah.
For one example, or like sports people, it's like, mm-hmm. no, I'm sorry, somebody will do what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hold art as, like, this is the only person that could have made this.
I've been dealing with that lately, ever since I've gotten real back into vinyl, real deep, mm-hmm. and, like, just the concept of, like, if I put all these artists under a microscope, I wouldn't have any records.
If you put everybody under a microscope, mm-hmm. everybody's been shitty at one point or another.
But, like, not to the regard, like, I've never been arrested for domestic violence or fighting a cop, but, like.
But also, nobody's going to do something, like, there's no music or no art that the world wouldn't continue if it wasn't
there.
Oh,
of course, yeah. Yeah.
You know? Because There is art that doesn't exist, and we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd love to believe in the full played out scenario of Bill and Ted,
mm-hmm.
that their music saves the world. And maybe that's what the third one is going to answer this summer. Maybe that's what we're waiting for. You know, but that's the idea that their music, mm-hmm. you know, some We Are the World type shit, but it's not. There's music and art that hasn't been created, and we're still just chugging forward. There's mm-hmm. good, and there's better, and there's fantastic, mm-hmm. and there's overwhelmingly amazing, and it touched people, and maybe on an individual basis it has helped somebody along. But if that artist never exists, another artist would have done that for you.
Yeah.
If the best quarterback of all time never existed, then the other guy would have been the best quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, nobody's ever going to be a quarterback again.
Yeah.
Because that guy was the best.
Hey, Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Speaking of which, I was at a record store this week. Somebody came in to sell some records. Speaking of which, some dude came in to sell some of his records, mm-hmm. and the guy behind the counter bought, it seemed like he bought almost everything except for 5 Bill Cosby albums, and he goes, yeah, we can't give these things away. And he goes, hey, I get it. But he's like, literally, I can't give these away.
I get it.
Nobody wants Bill Cosby records. Speaking of rock and roll, went to a rock and roll show. Man, so good. Have I talked to you about the legendary Shack Shakers? Have I talked to you about them?
I always get it confused with Shake Shack, and I always just think it's like
the Shake Shackers.
Yeah, the legendary Shake Shackers. And I'm like, oh yeah, probably delicious concert,
dude. So good. It's a band I've been a fan of for years. I think I've told this story.
It's a good name.
I'll tell it again if I haven't. They've been around since 1995. The main guy, the Colonel J.D. Wilkes. He's an actual Kentucky Colonel. He's from Kentucky, and this dude is like.
Well, wait.
Yeah, that's a real thing. You can be, I don't understand all the details, but it's a thing. It's like being a Mason, a Freemason or something. Like,
so it's not a military ranking.
No, not in Kentucky. It's more of a.
So that's like the colonel from the chickens.
Yes, yes. That colonel from the chicken, I don't believe he has a military background. He's a Kentucky colonel, which is different.
Well, all right, just keep talking. But, I'm looking this up right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's a real thing. Anyway, J.D. Wilkes, he's a real colonel, and he started that band, I think, in 1995. And, man, this dude is like, he's like the hillbilly Iggy Pop. Like, he's an insane front man.
Just throws himself all over, but he's just fat.
No, he's a real wiry dude, but just so much energy, but just such a great performer.
You can see his ribs, but they're barbecue ribs. He eats them during every show.
But the dude really is a badass, and he's a Renaissance man. He's an author and does all kinds of other shit. But anyway, I've been a fan of it. They've been around since 1995.
It's like a Knights of Columbus type thing.
Yeah. But I've been a fan probably since...
Kind of makes the chicken less exciting.
Yeah, that's true. This whole time you thought there was a military component to KFC? Huh.
Colonel, yeah.
But you could tell by his outfit that that's not official military
gear. Well, I'm sure he
was
honorably discharged. You can't use that uniform for capitalistic intents.
That's true.
You know? He was just representing a dignified stature afterwards. Like, I served, and now I'm a dignified Southern gentleman.
No, that's a thing in Kentucky, and I don't quite understand it, but yeah. But anyway, long story short, band's been around for 25 years. I've been a fan for 15, 18 years. And about 6 years ago on Facebook, my childhood buddy, my first friend, literally my first little
first
buddy,
friend.
When we were like 3 or 4, this guy named Jeremy Korn, he just reached out, and like you do sometimes on Facebook.
His last name's Korn?
His last name's Korn with a C. Now he goes by Preston Korn. I think maybe that's his middle name or whatever. But I knew him as Jeremy Korn. He's just a good dude.
My name's funny. I should change it. Now I'm Preston Korn.
I changed
Preston Korn.
Preston Korn. But anyway, dude, this is my first little buddy. We used to build forts and fucking climb trees.
He changed his name to Preston Korn.
Jeremy reaches out about 6 years ago. You know, hey, how you been? Blah, blah. I see you're a comedian. Blah, blah. Yeah, man. How what you been up to? He's like, oh, I'm a musician. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like a touring musician? Because, yeah, I'm in a band. We tour around. I was like, what band? He's like, yeah, you probably never heard of them. Legendary Shack Shakers. I was like, dude, I've been fan of that band for years.
I like this guy already. You probably never heard of them. We're the Legendary Shack Shakers.
Oh, that's funny.
We're a brand new band. What do you call yourself? yourself a little legendary Shack Shakers. Just give it time. Give it time.
No, like they're well known in that genre, but just that genre is pretty obscure. You know, it's all the gravy boat shit that I play. Like, I love it, but there's not a wide audience for a lot of that stuff. So, but they they tour Europe. They've been doing all kind of stuff. But, oh, man, such a great show. And they open for Reverend Horton Heat, who we've talked about.
Oh, okay.
Talked about rockabilly before. And I like rockabilly, but I will also admit that, like, if you've heard one rockabilly song, it seems like you've heard them all.
I don't have a real big tank for it.
Yeah. But, dude, and I've seen Reverend Horton Heat before, and they're great. But, like I said, it's like, they all kind of
But
sound
you
gotta the same.
You can't be a boring rockabilly
band.
Yeah,
but they, man, they mixed it up and playing all kinds of the new stuff, the old stuff, and just a,
where'd you see
a great 1-2 punch there with those two bands together. This place in Pasadena called The Rose at the Canyon or The Canyon at the Rose. I don't know. It's just it's like
a euphemism for the clitoris. Found my canyon rose.
But just like this weird kind of like supper club, like I don't know, a venue that probably holds 300 or 400. Yeah. It was set up kind of like, it's weird that I would say like a supper club because I never think of it that way with music, but it's set up kind of like a comedy club.
Okay.
Where like big performance space, big stage, but then there were tables and people were eating dinner and stuff. And then there was, we had general admission, so we didn't have to sit at a table and eat dinner. But anyway, just a fucking great show, man. Just, dude, just.
Well, that's a good time.
Man. Oh, man. Just really enjoyed it. Ubered over there, didn't have to worry about nothing. Just, got a little loose. Had a good time, man. Yeah, so it was a good weekend.
Well, that's good.
Rock and roll,
I'm
man.
I'm glad. I want to go back to Scary Movies.
Yeah? What you got?
Because that's why I was in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, everybody in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, did you have a good time?
Real cool, all you. Yeah, I did. I really did. It was a good show. And I'm overdue for a thank you. I'm overdue to thank William Franklin from Indianapolis from a few weeks back. Made a really cool cartoon of me with like incorporating a bunch of different jokes and stuff.
Oh yeah,
and I totally blew it and
didn't
shout out him in the right time. So thank you for that. And I've got it in my bookcase over there. But yeah, no, I just did Salt Lake City. But I watched The Ritual on Netflix. You see that yet?
Mm-mm.
I just got real high in a hotel room and watched it. It was a Netflix original, and it was just nothing, you know, nothing like horror movies. Like, I don't know. There's not really new ideas, I don't think. It's like four dudes that go camping and shit goes wrong, mm-hmm. and there's monsters in the wood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about the tone, mm-hmm. and what's the monster, why is the monster, and I thought it was pretty good on that. Also, it was late and I was high, and it scared me pretty good.
Hmm.
Anyway, not much else other than that.
Yeah.
I got, I don't have a lot of news. Salt Lake City. Everybody was cool. Drank some 3-2 beer.
What's 3-2 beer?
It's that Mormon beer.
Oh.
You can only get it's not that you can get all kinds of stuff there, but it's 3.2. It's like a lot of the beer that they sell in, bars that come. And then it's called High Point Beer, which is the regular. But also 3-2, like we're putting down the bullets here, and this is
probably 4-2.
4-2, yeah. 1% less.
How fucking pompous though. I mean, I'm sorry if you're LDS or whatever, but like just let people live their fucking lives. You don't have have to drink the beer. You don't have to buy it, you don't have to drink it. But let the ones who do, let them have normal beer.
All the jokes I was making, I'm like, I'm sure this is all stuff everybody's like, yeah, but it's always funny when somebody deals with it. Because Rachel's got family there, so we've been there a bunch. But, they have the state-run liquor stores.
What?
Which I was saying, like, they're government liquor stores. It's like
really?
The DMV. No refrigeration.
Like the, wow.
No, but I think it's awesome because there's no, this is the joke I was making. I'm like, it's so streamlined. Like, you go in, there's no advertisements or groceries or all this and that. It's like, I want vodka. Clearly labeled. Here's a shelf of vodka. Here's a shelf of whiskey. It's all labeled, and there's no bullshit around, and you get what you want. You just can't get it on Sunday.
Huh.
And my joke was like, that's fine. I could use a day off.
What do they do with the liquor in, as far as the 3.2?
No, that was liquor's all the same, and you can get beer that's the same, too.
Oh, okay.
I think just in restaurants or bars.
Oh, okay.
And when I was there, when I was performing there in 2013, you couldn't even drink. You had to like become a. There weren't bars; there were social clubs. So you had to become a member, which just meant you had to like give them a dollar to become a member of their social club. And like, it's one of those things where the legality is so laughable.
Yeah,
you know, it's just so stupid. I think Tom Rhodes has a whole part of his act or something about the weird laws from state to state that just hold it. But that yeah, it's silly. Like, and then so if you get, they can't sell you anything to drink the alcohol. They can't sell you cups. They can't sell you a corkscrew.
Really?
So you got like, oh, I got a bottle of wine. Yeah, but we can't sell you a corkscrew. But this wine also is a, there's a screw top wine. Yep, because we didn't think about this. Like, it's all very, very silly.
Wow.
And seemingly pointless. But hey, what do you want when you got religion getting its sticky fingers in your laws? That's what you get, I guess.
I got a buddy who's a Mormon and lives in Utah. Shout out to my buddy Aaron Thompson. But he was telling me,
probably not listen to this. They can't listen that, to anything through electricity.
You think they're all Quakers?
No. Yeah,
he was telling me that Utah sells the most ice cream because of that.
Yeah,
because
the dates, they don't go out to drink. They go get ice cream. Mm-hmm. Rachel was saying the same thing. Yeah. Everybody goes and has ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like that's, and for those who don't drink, you know, a lot of them that are Mormon that try to stick to their, you know, policies and procedures, that that's the one thing that you can really indulge in. Like, oh, well, we can eat ice cream.
Oh, yeah, you can be a fat ass.
Yeah, let's go eat the shit out of some ice cream.
No caffeine.
Yeah. Oh, they can't have caffeine?
Forgot about that. We'll hang out like our family. Oh, like, wow. Waking up like, oh, no caffeine. Can't wake up. Can't get drunk. Guess we just got to talk to each other.
Can't wake up.
Yeah, a little dragon ass.
It's 10 a.m. I'm not drunk yet.
No, Rachel's kind of like, I just drink in front of him now. She's like, no, nope, I brought wine, drinking it.
Oh, yeah?
Go ahead and judge. Go ahead and judge. It is. I mean, that shit, that could be its own boogie monster rabbit hole is, you know, that I read that Under the Banner of Heaven. That was a John Krakauer book.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pretty, but that's all about fundamentalist Mormons, the one that want to have a bunch of wives and marry underage. If like fundamentalist in front of anything,
yeah,
that's trouble.
Yeah,
a fucking fundamentalist baker, and you're like, well, that means there's some hard lines in there. Won't let the blacks or Jews eat these cookies. Like, all right, that's all right.
Oh Lord!
No, if somebody starts taking sound bites out of this, we're gonna get in a lot of trouble. You could edit this podcast and get us in a heap of riffraff. Well. Now would be the time that we would get to a topic, Dave, but what happened?
What? No, I was dicking around with some topics this week, but I just, and I don't want to say what they are in case I do wind up doing them, but I didn't feel real confident.
You know what? There's a new show out with Jack Osborne, Ozzy Osborne's son, where they go to haunted places, and they go to the Alaska Hotel, which is where you saw a ghost, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now Jack Osborne is going to go.
Yeah.
He's going to go, what's that called? Snake your story, man.
Yeah, well.
He's going to poach your story.
That's okay. That's all right.
Got to get up there with our video.
Watch out for those big red pillows.
They move on you.
No, I was going to I had a couple different topics, but I just never could wrap my brain around them. So we hadn't done this in a while. I thought we'd do a Q&A.
Well, I got a question for you. I was listening to that other. I just listen to other podcasts, but it was the one where they were talking to Jeremy Corbell about that Bob Lazar movie. It was on. They're interviewing him on Mysterious Universe, and I guess Bob Lazar. One of the details when he started working for, when he got his job with the government to work with the to reverse engineer UFO technology, he had to sign off on his constitutional rights.
What do you mean? Like, give them up?
Yeah, you don't have these anymore.
Well, that's kind of ironic. You work for the government.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're going to have access to such secrets that we will take, like, you will sign off your rights to work on this stuff. And I was wondering, Dave, you as a Bigfoot fanatic, what if it was like, you're going to meet Bigfoot, but now you have to sign away your constitutional rights
Say constitutional rights, like which specific ones are we referring to? Like what can't I do now?
Think about all of them.
Put it into context.
Think about no access to a lawyer when you're arrested.
Okay.
Well, I mean, is that That's a constitutional right that you have access. That's the Miranda law.
Uh-huh.
Assuming no right to free speech, can't talk about it, we will shut you down. Just anything they want, I guess. But I thought that was an interesting thing, like, all right, we're going to show you the thing you most want to see.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can't, if you want to tell anybody about it, we'll lock you up. And we don't have to say why. And we don't have to give you access to lawyers, your family. We'll make you disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Would you still do it?
I get to see Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's alive, he or she.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd do it.
But then...
what do I care? You know how much emotional and psychological satisfaction I would get out of that? Of like, finally.
So if we see Dave just giving up with a smile on his face. But you couldn't tell anybody.
Well, yeah, I could.
They say you tell him, we're going to lock you up, going to prison.
Come and find me, motherfucker.
It's the government.
Come and get me.
They're going to get you.
Fucking Ruby Ridge, that shit. Why? What's wrong with Dave?
What are you going to do? Just
well,
throw sliced ham at him from the side door of your van?
It's a long story. But the government let him see Bigfoot.
Then they told me couldn't tell anybody. He's like, watch me. And now, now it's a standoff. It's a standoff in the L.A. River Basin. But I was trying to think, like, what would you like to get access to something like that but to sign off on all your rights? And that was, according to this interview, because we talked about this movie, that Bob Lazar movie. I'm steering us away from the Q&A right now.
I don't remember that part in the movie. Maybe we do it on the... I don't remember that part about the...
Well, the way this Jeremy Corbell was talking, he sounded like I was saying, he sounded like a real P.T. Barnum,
mm-hmm.
Hollywood producer type. Like, it was very off-putting to listen to.
Mm-hmm. He directed that movie, and he also directed that other one we saw, I think. The Disclosure, or the... remember the one we watched about 6 months ago?
Oh, was that him, too?
I think he directed that one, yeah.
So just his personality in this interview made me... lose touch with the subject.
Oh, yeah?
I don't like when directors of documentaries want to be the star of the documentary.
That
themselves.
Is a bit
like,
off-putting.
That's
the Michael Moore.
Michael approach. Moore thing. Like, mm-hmm. You're just, you have such a hard on for being in your own movies, mm-hmm. that. And then you look at all the little like, that was my thing with Michael Moore movies. Like, oh, security's kicking us out. And you could tell it's like added tires and sirens and shit.
Yeah.
Like, once you dent the armor that much of me trying to trust the information you're giving me, then the rest of it's in question.
Yeah.
Then you've blown the whole fucking thing by manipulating that little bit.
Yeah.
To me. Maybe I'm being hyped. Maybe I should look at information and entertainment.
Yeah.
And I should know to separate. But like, no, if you're sitting there and be like, this is what's wrong with the government and here's facts. I'm like, okay. Oh, they're kicking us out. Fake siren. Like, not intentionally fake sirens.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, you're just manipulating me. You're using the same technique that Fox News does,
mm-hmm.
for a thing I want to be with, and now I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, and his thing, too. I mean, I don't dislike Michael Moore. I appreciate his movies, and I'm glad there's people out there making those type of movies and, you know, being watchdogs and whatnot. But, like, his brand is so much of, like, the common man. You know, he's like the film version of Woody Guthrie that – he was on some interview recently, and like it's like he's ashamed that he's successful, but he was on some interview, and I forgot which one it was, but the interviewer was like, they were talking about money and capitalism and stuff, and mm-hmm. and he's like, well, Michael, you're a millionaire, and he goes, oh, no, I'm not, and then like,
well,
the guy pulls up like,
yeah.
the profits of his films, is like, well, then where did all these millions of dollars go? He's like, I'm not, and he goes, and then like he held him to it, it's like, and he goes, well, I mean, I guess if you count like my house and stuff, it's like, well, yeah, no shit.
Oh,
but like, even without your house, you're telling me you don't have $1 million in the bank, Michael Moore.
You count my my belongings.
But like, it's okay, dude.
You
but
count
also,
the things I've bought with money.
Don't try to insult our intelligence. Like, you've been making successful movies for 20 years.
I told you that story about watching him. You know, it's right after his whole like healthcare thing, like.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I think we should all have access to affordable health care. And I'm watching this giant man, like, scrape a ramekin for loose syrup. It was at a comedy festival. And we're all at like a diner at night, and I'm watching him like fucking throw down some cunny on this ramekin of syrup, trying to get the last, not even to put on a thing, like to eat it with a fork.
Ooh, dude.
And that's where I'm like,
leave it on
this
the
is
table.
The argument that people have against wanting to yeah. use their taxes. To, yeah. I mean, I still agree with it, but goddamn, dude. You're not really living by what you're not really practicing what you preach.
It's like that Bill Burr joke where he saw a lady at the airport eat two McMuffins, just shoveled them in, her, just popped them in one at a time. Then she wiped her mouth with a bag. She wiped her mouth with a bag.
That's what I did this morning. I go because I drink a bunch of coffee before my bike ride, mm-hmm. but you got to eat something. Mm-hmm. I can't just get up. But then I got. There's always this bullfight between me and a morning shit whenever I go on this bike ride. Because it's always like, oh, is it going to happen at home? Is it going to happen at the Jack in the Box by the trail? Is it going to happen on the trail? Because sometimes it's like, well, that's the timing of it. So mm-hmm. I was like, I try to jumpstart it by going to get, I get two egg and cheese croissants at the Jack in the Box.
Oof.
And then try and, what? It's protein. I need it.
Ugh.
What are you, really?
Yes.
Fucking really?
Yes. Jack Why? In the Box fucking sucks.
No, I know it does.
That's the lowest form of
it
food.
It absolutely
possible.
Is.
That's prison food.
It absolutely. The first time I realized that Del Taco is open 24. Del Taco has Beyond Meat now too, so I can go back and eat my delicious Del Taco foods.
Well, that's good.
But it was a 24-hour thing. It was a drunk 24-hour thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, where are we gonna go? Go to Jack in the Box. It's trash. But breakfast, it's like, how are you gonna fuck up egg and cheese?
Oh, they'll do it.
Nah, it's egg and cheese and a croissant. With
ain't
hot
real
sauce.
Eggs.
What?
It's not real eggs.
No, it is. I could tell. It's a cracked egg. It's white and yellow. It's like when McDonald's they make it in the circle. Mm-hmm. They ask like a cracked egg. I'm like, yes. Fucking cook it in the shell and give it to me. What do you? Yeah, cracked egg. All you right. get the option of like the mm-hmm. fake shit or
yeah. Okay.
I look at it. It's a real egg.
Okay.
But I'm like, all right, cool. We're gonna get something. We're gonna get some business done.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
To do your Tongan gut punch.
I danced a little bit around, but then I get in there, and I'm like, "All right, I'm sitting in there trying to get what I can get done."
Where
the
are
door
you?
Opens. It's a Jack in the Box right at the base of.
Oh, so you're shitting at the Jack in the Box?
Yeah, right. It's right by where I go. It's the only thing around right by where this trail starts. And so,
I'm did you eat them in the store and then take a shit immediately afterwards?
Yeah, I was just trying to get something gotcha. Going. You know, gotcha. Trying to loosen the load. You got to jettison. Some cargo for these uh-huh. birds. But then I hear the door open. I hear some guy, oh, fucking bathroom. And the guy goes out and then just comes in. And then it's just like an ogre at the gates. Like I'm in. It's one stall and one urinal. I just hear like, oh. So I'm like, when you can hear somebody's fat,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, you're not. This is how you have to sound. You're not in a huff. You're not in a huff because I'm in the stall. Like, this is just you. I'm like.
They have wake apnea.
I don't know. What. Yeah, exactly.
Your joke.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, and to the point where I'm like, part of me wants to be like, dude, you're standing in a tiny bathroom. You're trying to put the heat on me?
Yeah.
I'm in the power position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here all fucking day.
Yeah.
I'll start answering emails, mm-hmm. dude. But then I'm like hearing that voice. I'm like. You need this. Like, I want to get on this bike ride, too. And I think, like, normally, you know, I don't want to be a dick, but I want to hang out and make sure the bucket's empty.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, all right, I got done. I got to get done. And this guy was just a mountain of a man.
Wow. Like, how big? 400?
I would guess 400.
Wow.
Like, I don't know if he was tall, but he was a wide, wide man. Like,
big
that boy. Was his.
Big I think boy.
He might have been going in there to die.
Wow.
And so I wanted to be like, I almost was like, fucking, hey, it's all yours, buddy. But instead I was like, your life isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way the quality of your life, you need this.
Yeah.
And so instead of like, I wanted to be like, fuck this guy, ass. I'm like, you know what? Let's look at the little blessings. I got there before he did.
Mm-hmm.
That's the blessing.
Yeah.
Whatever he was going to do in there, I'm sure that place got shut down by the health department. So instead of being angry that this guy was like rude, like, I'm trying to be better. Like, hey, man, you're going. You're. It's the middle of a Monday. You get to go on a bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, I'm just like trying to control my rage. I wanted to be angry at this dude, but,
Well,
but also like, fuck you, man. Don't stand in the bathroom, mouth breathing in shit particles, You're gross. You are a gross man. It's like when somebody's in a horror movie and there's a monster on the other side of the door and you could see their breath.
Yeah. Dude, speaking of public shit.
Speaking of public shit.
Found a great new public toilet if you ever need to use it. I wish I'd have known about this when I was in the van. Would have been a real game changer. But if you're ever in Hollywood and you need a nice, pristine public toilet.
Dude, something like that or like in New York City, it's always.
Yeah. Pristine. Nice public toilet. The Arclight. And here's how I figured that out. Because we went and saw the movie, and then we left. We walked outside, and we split up for like an hour. She was going to go to Barry's, and I was going to walk to Amoeba. Yeah. So she's like, all right, I'll come pick you up in 2 hours, whatever. Like, so I've been out. I was out and about, and I was in Amoeba. And
she was going to exercise after a movie?
Yeah, she's insane. She's out of her fucking mind. in a good way. But I was in Amoeba, and Amoeba doesn't have a public restroom, even though they should, because it's the size of a goddamn Home Depot, and that's a good thing. I love them, yeah, but come on. But anyway, so I still had the ticket stub.
That Jack in the Box, that Stab in the Box across the street there.
So I went back into the Arclight, into the main lobby. They don't collect the tickets until you go up the stairs or down the stairs, but in the lobby, they've got a very nice, very well-stocked 10 toilets, 10 urinals, pristine, really? That you don't need a ticket to get in and out of. So I don't know if the homeless folks in Hollywood know about this, but man, primo public toilet.
That's good enough because it's a walking around area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just dip into the main arc lot, not the dome
and they,
one.
And they sometimes they got like little outfits from the movies, a little bit of movie memorabilia in there.
They got a huge lobby. It looks like a mall. But off to the left, they've got public bathrooms.
Have you seen a movie at the El Capitan yet?
No. Where's that?
It's a Disney theater.
Yeah. But meaning they only show Disney movies?
Primarily. But I would go see all the Pirates of the Caribbean, but they would like decorate the whole movie theater for the theme.
Uh-huh.
Like the Vista. It's one screen theater.
Okay.
And and Avengers is there now, so I'm sure that it's like bonkers. And then like before the show, instead of previews, they just do like a show about the movie. Like when it was Pirates of the Caribbean, they had a guy on the organ playing sea shanties.
Okay.
And there was like the Jolly Roger flag on screen. He was singing the balcony seats were like overflowing with treasure. It's a good time.
That's cool.
It is a good time. So you know what? If you were gonna see the Avengers, I would see it at El Capitan.
Where is that? What part of town?
That's right. It's right on
Hollywood Boulevard. Oh,
it's where, it's where Jimmy Kimmel. His studio's behind it or something.
It's gotcha. Right there, so. Yeah.
We didn't even get to no question. We didn't talk about nothing.
No. On an episode that we don't even do a topic, we still can't even get to the thing.
That's all right.
But that's all right. How are we doing on time? Should we get in some of these questions?
No, man. We got a tape two today.
Yeah?
If you were enticed by this week, wait till next week when it's us a little more drunk in a half hour tape.
No, the other one we're doing today
shit.
Is
Toy Story 4.
Such gusto.
I was reading it. What was that was... Rachel and I, we tried to watch the Harry Potters, and we're trying to all these things that people
never seen
watch,
those. Yeah.
But we started watching the Toy Stories. You seen the Toy Stories?
Definitely saw the first one.
Dog.
I don't know if I've seen any of the others.
You want to get in touch with yourself?
Yeah.
You want to feel things?
Toy Story, really?
Toy Story.
I remember enjoying it. I remember it was a big deal when it came out, like 96.
Yeah, because it was the first Pixar movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that being a big deal, and I was like, all right, I'll watch this.
And then you're like, oh. Which is, I'm sure, what would happen with a Game of Thrones or an Avengers.
Yeah.
I watch it, go, oh, wow.
With the what?
With a Game of Thrones.
It's like somebody's dad talking about it.
It's like a weird
movie. He's over there watching Game of Thrones.
I got to watch. But so we've been watching those.
Uh-huh.
We watched the first and second one together. And then we started the third one night, and then I was doing shows, and so Rachel watched it by myself. She's like, so how is this one? I get a text like, what is this one, kind of boring? And I was at, and then like a couple hours later, she's like, I'm crying all over the place. They got me. And I'm like, yeah.
Which one, number two?
The third one.
The third one, okay.
The third one is the
one. I definitely haven't seen that.
Because that one came out in the, 2005. I'm looking at the fucking thing here. Mm-hmm. But the fourth one's coming out in June.
Okay.
But yeah, I remember Toy Story 3 being the one that, like, I was living here and I'm an adult, 2010, and everybody being like, oh, god damn. Like, it got him.
What is the movie?
Watch shows with Katie.
Yeah, I was talking to Katie about this topic the other day.
Incredibles
about
are good ones.
Movies that make you cry, because I don't cry in movies. I can't. It's not a, I don't, not what? A tough guy thing. I just, I can't separate reality enough to where I'm, you know.
Have you cried at anything not like emotionally impactful, that fine, but like from music, from movies, from any kind of just
no
something that you're not personally attached to?
Mm-mm.
Really?
No, I don't think. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I would like to. So here's my question.
Oh, okay.
Which?
Oh, we got to make Dave cry.
Yes, make
that's
me cry.
Episode, this next week's episode. Just send in suggestions for what will make Dave cry.
Make me cry. I was talking to her. We couldn't figure out. Isn't there a Pixar movie or one of those type movies in the last 10 years that everybody like?
Popeye's Chicken is it, shuts down. Popeye's Chicken gets bought out by Jack in the Box.
Oh, yeah. That'll make me cry. That'll definitely make me cry.
Oh, Dave got arrested on domestic terrorism charges.
Blow up a fucking KFC.
Me versus the military. They're not real colonels. You're the one that told me that, Dave. He's getting his army together. Hold on. Have we learned nothing this episode?
Oh, my God. That's funny. But which, there's a couple of these movies that everybody's like, you'll cry. Is it Up or In and Out or one of those?
They say Up and In and Out. That's how I like to do it. No, it's Up was one that everybody told me I was going to cry and I didn't.
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, oh, I was like getting myself emotionally right. But I'm not put off by it. I don't like weep. But I'll get the tears will fall.
Hmm.
I think Coco got me.
Coco?
Especially if I watch it on a plane.
How to Train Your Dragon. Is that one?
I didn't see that one.
No.
If something about being on a plane, being like more, there's no distractions. Like, my phone. I'm like watching a tiny movie, and then you're next to people, so you're even more self-conscious about it. So next time if you're flying somewhere, try it. Try doing it. If you get the TV monitor and you want to treat yourself to a movie, put a couple drinks in there.
Okay.
Because, I mean, yeah, Pixar just crushes it with like getting the, like Toy Story is all about growing up, you know, and it's the toys that are important to the kid, but then he's becoming an adult, so the toys are like trying to find their place in life. So it's that. Coco was, that one.
What's that about?
That's, it's about, you know, losing loved ones, and it's about death, and it's about accepting what death is and stuff. It's like it's heavy. It's heavy subject, but also visually, it is outstanding.
Really?
Yeah. That Coco. Ooh.
Huh.
That's a I watched that one on a plane. I think I had to like need napkins.
Well, if you had the ones that you've seen that you've experienced, which one should I watch if I wanted to?
The one I remember most recently was Coco.
Coco?
Impactful. But then it's still like, this is still a funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you still got me on an adult entertainment level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though it's quote-unquote animation or whatever, it gets me. Some songs, like, if I'm driving, if I'm on the road in the middle of a place I don't know on a highway and songs come on, I let that one get me. But usually not sad songs.
Huh. Usually, what's a song that makes you cry?
Just like things with like triumphant choruses.
Uh-huh. Okay. Huh.
You know? you know, like in the vein of like We Are the Champions.
Uh-huh.
But like soaring vocals will get me.
Huh.
I told you about that weird, what was that? Smoke Break song? Who is it? Carrie Underwood? It's a horse shit song. It's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I love it.
Uh-huh.
Because there's just something that's about like everything's tough and I just need a break. And I'm like, I get you.
Huh.
Whatever Christian that won't drink a beer in this song, like the unrelatable characters you're telling me about, it was composed the way it was composed. Like, it got me.
Mm.
Is there any instruments that get you going? Like, I feel like there's something.
Ooh, yeah.
Like heritage or something. Like, bagpipes will get me.
In the vein of that.
Fiddle? Is it fiddle?
Being a country music fan, steel guitar. Just way that steel, that sound, that moaning.
That steel guitar, fiddles, kind of in the same genre, but or like a bagpipes or Accordion.
Mm-hmm. Accordion.
I'm trying to think of examples, but more like if it's
like a slower, more
like Irish like somber folk, like stuff that goes from like Irish folk, and you can hear that influence mm-hmm. in. I remember looking it up why the mariachi music seems so similar to like German oompa music,
uh-huh.
but like real slow mariachi music with her wailing and stuff in it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because that's where the accordion comes and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're saying, but there's something about.
Uh-huh.
There's an emotional resonance.
Yeah.
To that.
Yeah. No, I get that.
But like, so just certain instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Steel guitar. Yep.
That steel guitar, man, that'll pluck at your soul. Oh, here's a song you should, if you want to cry. I don't think I've cried at it, but I totally get how people would. Jason Isbell,
mm-hmm.
listen to his song called Elephant, and like really listen to the lyrics and yeah. follow the narrative. And yeah, it's a bummer.
See, I don't cry to the stats. I was listening to a Super 8 mm-hmm. by him, and that one I'll cry to if I'm singing it in the car because it's way too close to like
yeah.
like the reality of what it's like a rollicking good time number.
Yeah.
But the lyrics are about,
oh yeah,
I'm going to die in a shitty motel because this is my life. And I'm like, this is,
I've thought of that
so close.
That's probably how I'm going to die.
Oh, so, yeah. Somebody's got to just find, oh. Yeah, that's Super 8 by Jason Isbell. Yeah.
Don't want to die in a Super 8 motel just because somebody's evening didn't go so well.
Yeah, the whole story about being with the wrong woman and fighting somebody and yeah. throwing up in the sink and having the maid call a paramedics.
Yep.
It was like
the best.
I know people who've died like this.
The best and, to my knowledge, only usage of the word fungo bat in a song. Do you know what a fungo bat is?
I kept thought he was saying a fun little bat.
Fungo. A fungo bat is a baseball bat, but it's super skinny, and it's just meant for the coach to hit you grounders. And like, you're not supposed to hit a pitched ball with it because it'll shatter or whatever. Mm-hmm. But one you toss yourself and swing and hit, those are, for some reason, I don't know why you don't just use a normal bat, but that's called a fungo bat, and it's something you practice
really?
Baseball with. Yeah, some guy coming in swinging a fungo, took a fungo bat in the baby fat, something like that. But yeah.
Yeah, because he's trying to fight him off with mm-hmm. a coffee mug.
Yeah.
Good weapon when you
yeah.
realize that in a pinch,
yeah.
swinging some ceramic around.
Yeah. But yeah, fungo bat. It's a skinny baseball bat. Never heard that in a song before.
Yeah, I don't think we ever will. Well,
oh,
shit,
boy.
Man.
So you don't want to do these questions? You want to save this for next time?
Yeah.
All right.
Got an hour of bullshit here.
Well, I got a recipe today.
Okay. I was going to say, do we have ads?
I have no idea. But we. Why don't you look that up while I talk about this recipe?
Okay.
Dude.
Is it a summer recipe?
It is kind of a summer recipe. You,
is it pineapple in it?
You, you're off. You're doing the veggies, but where do you stand on fish?
I eat fish.
All right. Well, you're going to like this one, Kyle. When's the last time you had swordfish?
It's been a while, but I do like a swordfish. Like it's a firm fish.
Yes.
It's firm. I get it at Musso and Frank's when the lady needs a steak.
Yes.
When I got to throw some meat at that tiger, I got swordfish for myself.
Dude, I love swordfish, and I kind of improvised a little bullshit sauce to go with it. And
bullshit sauce.
I'll do the sauce first, and then I'll tell you how to cook the fish.
All right.
Basically, it's my old technique with almost any dish. Take a whole head of garlic, cut it in half. To where you have a top half and a bottom half, not a left and a right, but a top and a bottom. Rub a little olive oil on the surface there. You don't have to peel it, by the way. Just take the whole bulb of garlic, cut that shit in half. Rub some olive oil on the naked garlic. Wrap it in tin foil.
This is a hot. Rub some oil.
Yeah,
on
yeah. Rub some oil on it.
Wrap it right into this Adam and Eve ad.
Wrap it up. It's a tin foil. Put it on a cookie sheet or a baking pan. And then also take you a half of a white or a yellow onion. And just you don't have to. You can put a little olive oil on that, but you don't have to wrap the onion. You can just put that face down, the half down, onto the pan. So anyway, you've got your wrapped up garlic. You got your half an onion. Just roast that shit on 400 for about 45 minutes, right? Take that shit out. Blend it up. Throw in the blender the half of a roasted onion, and then pull out all the little cloves. Now you don't want to throw in the obviously the skin at this point, but you want to take all the cloves of roasted garlic out of their skin. Throw that in the blender and puree that shit. You might need to add a little water just to get it to liquefy and to puree. But anyway, That's the base of your sauce. You got a half of a pureed roasted onion and a whole bulb of pureed roasted garlic. That's the base of your sauce. Then you just add a little bit of lemon juice, and then you just add a little salt and pepper and smoked paprika. And if you got some fresh herbs, you can throw that in. If you got some fresh rosemary or thyme or something.
Got rosemary just in the back over.
Yeah, you can chop that up and throw it in there. But yeah, you just got a real basic sauce of pureed garlic and onions, a little bit of lemon juice. You can throw in some lemon zest too, just a little a couple shakes on the old cheese grater.
Buy zest? Well, that's what I'm like. It's just like a.
Where do you think zest comes from? I'm not being condescending.
I don't know, just a positive attitude.
I'm not being condescending. I'm just always curious, like people who don't really.
De vive.
The zest comes. you take the actual lemon and you use a cheese grater, and that the skin. It's grated up skin. That's what lemon zest is.
Like,
that's just funny. Do you have to buy the zest?
Just see like a little package. Jar of zest.
I don't know why that's so funny.
I don't know.
Obsessed. But yeah, so there's your sauce, right? All right, let's review. Roasted garlic, roasted onions, a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of lemon zest, salt, pepper, and maybe a little smoked paprika. And then if you got some fresh herbs, chop that shit up and throw it in there. Let that simmer for a few minutes. While that's cooking up, take your get you a couple of swordfish fillets. Go ahead and keep that oven
free. Swordfish.
Keep that oven going at 400. You're going to need that in a minute. Take your cast iron skillet, put it on the stove, turn that shit up full blast hot. Let that get hot as shit for about 5 minutes. While your cast iron skillet is getting hot, take those fillets, rub them with just a little bit of olive oil, and hit it with some salt and pepper, preferably some kosher salt and some fresh ground pepper. So boom, olive oil, salt and pepper. That once that skillet gets hot as shit, it'll start smoking. Throw those fillets down for about 3 minutes, then flip them, then turn the stove off and stick that thing in the oven.
Ooh, just like a steak.
Yes, just like a steak.
For butter on top of it?
For about five or six. Oh, yeah. Also in the sauce, there's butter. There's butter in the sauce. But you could do that, too. You could throw a little butter on top.
That's how I would do when I was eating steaks. Yes. Put a steak before you put it in the oven.
Yeah, let that melt all over. Oh. Yep. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But, yeah, so 3 minutes on the stove top, flip it, and then immediately take it off and stick in the oven for about 5 or 6 minutes. Pull that shit out. It's going to be cooked perfectly. Now you got the sauce. Pour some of that fucking roasted onion and garlic and lemon sauce. Oh, boy. It's literally one of the best things I've made in
that
a couple of years.
Great.
In a couple of years, it's one of the best things. My mind was blown.
That sounds great.
It was fucking great. I should have took a picture, but I'll make it again, take some pictures. But, yeah, swordfish. Do it, man.
Swordfish, and they seem like they're mean.
Yeah.
So I'll eat them.
Why do they need a sword? Comic of the week, friend of the show, good buddy, Sean Jordan. Got a new album
Most
out.
Positive individual.
Sean is a funny fucking dude.
I love that man.
Every time we hang out.
The buck starts here.
He's one of those guys that I laugh at even when he's not doing anything.
He's just good vibes.
And it's like, hey, man, I'm not making fun of you. Your vibe is just cracking me up.
The podcast is going well for them. All fantasy and everything.
Yeah.
All those dudes support them.
Ian, David.
Ian, Dave Borey. And then
Shane's like the adopted brother.
Shane and Zach Toscani are in the satellite areas. And then Sean's like, yeah, Sean's just like oh, good, Sean's here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people when they're around, you're like, oh, awesome, Sean's here.
Yeah, good vibes.
And also on stage. Mm-hmm. Oh, Sean's on. Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And so he's got an album.
Got a new album called The Buck Starts Here.
You want to see a guy who doesn't have a problem cry? He cries all the time.
Oh, yeah?
He cries, he just gets happy and he cries.
Good for him.
Just compliment him.
Yeah.
If you meet Sean Jordan and you don't know him, just be like, Sean. You know, Kyle and Dave said you're a great guy, and your album's great. He'll cry in front of you. He is a sensitive. He's receptive to emotions for being a hip hop skateboarding dude.
Uh-huh.
Not the type of person you'd think would also be so emotionally available to anybody who needs it.
Uh huh.
Oh, I love it when people that are good are also hilarious.
Yeah. But yeah, new album, Comic of the Week, Sean Jordan. That's SEAN. If you're looking that up. And the buck, what is it? What did I say? The buck stop?
The buck starts here.
Starts here. Sorry.
He always
Sorry,
has, Sean. He says some of his own language. Mm-hmm. He says buck and dank a lot, and I'm going to screw up what that means. But
oh, man, what you plugging? What do you got?
When's this coming out? Tomorrow?
Yep.
30th. Be in Eugene, Oregon tonight. World Pies. W-H-I-R-L-E-D.
I'm trying to book a gig in Eugene, so.
Yeah. Well, that's my buddy Rudy Tiberzi, who helped me set up shows in Korea all those times.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'm trying to get a July Pacific Northwest run going, and I need a Eugene show.
Well, this is about what I'm plugging. So save it for afterwards, Dave. Jesus Christ. I'll give his phone number out on here. I'll be in Eugene, Oregon tonight. I'll be at the Volcanic Theater of Bend, Oregon.
Sorry.
And that's, why don't you cough over my shit more? Jesus Christ.
Where are you going to be?
You
got any dates to plug, Kyle? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I got mean at the end. I don't know what happened.
That's all right.
Yeah, tonight I'm going to be in Eugene, Oregon. You should play there, Dave. It's great. Tomorrow, May 1st, I'll be at the Volcanic Theater.
Uh-huh.
Sounds hazardous. In Bend, Oregon.
Okay.
And then this weekend, Tacoma Comedy Club.
Nice.
In Tacoma, Washington.
Washington.
That's like the Ohio thing. Washington.
Washington.
Wooder.
Wooder.
Wooder in Washington. Fucking idiots. Mm-hmm. I can say that because I already played Ohio last month. Yeah, so that's it. Oh, I also forgot about when I was playing Salt Lake City, a lady heckled but just went, weirdest segue ever. And she was right, and I didn't know what to do.
What was the segue?
I finished one. I'm trying to work on a new hour because I recorded everything, and I just went into something. I was just like, you know when you like don't know what your set list is, and you're like, I'll freestyle.
That could be fun.
Well, and it was fun until I started a bit. She's like, weirdest segue ever. And I'm like, what are you, fucking comedy police?
Yeah.
I'm like, you're right, but also, so.
Weirdest segue ever.
It was funny because it was a comedically accurate thing. Like, don't yell out at shows.
Yeah.
Ever. But that one, I was like, I mean, yeah. And it wasn't that it wasn't. I'm like, what? Just come on, lady. Yeah, I'm trying to get new shit.
I got it. Don't worry, lady.
What do you want to tell people, Dave?
All right. In May, I'll be in the following: Pensacola, Tallahassee, Orlando, Chapel Hill, Columbia, Greenville, Charlotte, Chattanooga, Nashville, Knoxville.
Sounds like the shittiest version of Kokomo by the Beach Boys I've ever heard. Pensacola, Tallahassee, Charlotte, Nashville. Ooh, where I want to go.
Bristol, Virginia, and Atlanta. So that's where I'll be. All those more details can be found at dumbdavestone.com.
Okay.
Oh, and you got to follow me on Twitter.
Yeah,
because I don't have 10,000 followers, and a booker told me that he doesn't book people that have less than 10,000 followers, because that's important with stand-up comedy.
Oh, yeah. You mean the thing that's just a political wasteland, Twitter?
Yeah, so I need...
Where did he book?
I don't want to say, in case I do play there.
Well, does his venue have a Twitter?
I don't know.
You should find out. Say, well, that's funny, because I don't play places that don't have 10,000 followers on Twitter. Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, I know.
All right, we'll cover it.
Give me some more followers. And I've never asked that, and I'm kind of joking, but geez, I've never had somebody tell me that. Like, oh, okay. I mean, yeah, maybe if I was on a wacky sitcom 30 years ago or ex-pro wrestler, I could get some goddamn dates.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
But anyway. There you go.
How many of the fucking Instagram for Boogie Monster has?
Got like 5,000, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're on Instagram. We're on Boogie Monster. Nobody cares. We're on Twitter. Yeah.
The Boogie Monster.
Friends Audio, a podcast network.